Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to 30 Minutes of Wisdom for this Friday. And this is Gregory Mascari from Bozeman, Montana. I want to thank everyone for joining us here on our live call and those of you listening in on the replay. As many of you know, Robin and I started these regular weekly calls with Enlightened Networking kind of as our way of paying it back, or in some regards, it's really more accurately said, paying it forward for all the amazing people we've been blessed to meet and the wisdom we've learned and the opportunities and relationships we've developed over the years and really over the decades. And it's our intention with these Friday morning 30 Minute of Wisdom calls to create a safe space where people from all professions, backgrounds, and companies can come together and dip in the well of wisdom with some of the most forward-thinking authors, speakers, trainers, and really enlightened beings in the world today. So I'd like to turn this call over to a very special enlightened being who happens to be my partner in life and an enlightened networker herself, Robin Blank Mascari.
Well, thank you, Gregory, and welcome everyone again. Thanks for taking time for yourself and also to join us for 30 Minutes of Wisdom and being part of our enlightened networking community. Today, our topic is soul-centered public speaking. Imagine standing in front of your audience, whether it's one person or thousands, and feeling absolutely at ease and also enjoying the full attention of your audience. So today we have the author of Be Heard Now. He's the founder of Speaking Circles Internationally and an authority on authentic power and presence in public speaking. It's a different perspective than the way most of us have been taught, if we've been taught at all. And this process is so simple and effective for speaking just with one person, a small group, or thousands with heart and authenticity. He's a coach to the coaches, a speaker to public speakers, and it started with his stage fright, his own personal lifetime of stage fright that motivated him to develop this simple and elegant approach to really break through this epidemic fear that so many people have of being present in front of groups. So today he's going to share a little bit about how we can really feel effortless and in front of people and be our authentic selves no matter where we are. This program called Speaking Circles was introduced to me many years ago, and I was able to participate personally in a weekly group with a small bunch of people, 5 to 7 people, and what I appreciate about this work is I actually got to witness so quickly how people could feel more confident and really get their message across and, bottom line, improve self-esteem. And one more thing, years ago I was a trainer in a leadership train-the-trainer program where all of our participants were trained in speaking circles. It was so profound to many times experience people having almost an instant transformation in their comfort. So it is my pleasure this morning, and whenever you get to are listening, whether it's live or on the recorded call, to welcome a very special friend, Lee Glickstein. Wonderful to have you with us, Lee.
Thanks, Robin. Wonderful to be here. I can sense the group already.
You know, I remember you saying when you're talking on the phone to pretend you're looking at their picture and looking in their eyes, and we're going to get into that in just a minute, but I'd love you to start out with, you know, so many of us know that the number one fear is this fear of public speaking. It is epidemic. Could you share why that is the case?
Well, it starts when we're 9 days. No, pardon me. It starts when we're 9 minutes old.
Whoa.
Yeah, studies are showing us that when we're 9 days old, infants, 9 minutes, it's so amazing, it's hard to believe, but it's true, start to look at faces. We prefer faces more than anything in the world. And then at about 4 months old, we start fixating specifically on our caregivers, our mother's face. And if we get the non-overwhelmed, non-stressful look back. And next few months we get mirrored by our mom in this attuned way. We can we understand attunement, and we go through life attuned to other human beings. But most of us in this world don't get that. We get an overwhelmed, or in my case, a depressed mom, or stressed out moms, and we're downloading literally almost through her eyes, which is a portal to the brain. We're downloading this discomfort, and then it continues what we call the father gaze. The father, as I had a father who looked at me with contempt. And if you don't get that look of, oh, you're okay, you can do it, you go into life with this sense of separation. This is where we learn the oneness that we are in, with parents who can really be there. And in this world, very few of us get that, or we get it with some, contamination or with some, other stuff in it. And of course we look at people, we look at a group when we're, you get to be an adult, you haven't gotten over that, and you project your family, you project the sense of separation. You have a whole bunch of people looking at you and you can't function. You say, well, I got stage fright. Well, no, this is in this world, this is what we're given. And we try to make the connection with content, with I've got something to say, you've got brilliant things to say. But if you don't go back to an attuned state without the content, to find out what it is to be looked at and to look at others with a sense of connection, not to try to connect, but to allow the connection to reveal, there's always this anxiety in front of groups or lack of authenticity. So, the only way out for me was to create a supportive environment where the stress was on just being eye to eye and breathing and feeling the scare, feeling the fear, feeling the separation, and breathing into it, and eventually discovering how to be with people without performing, without trying.
Whoa. That just says so much, and I want everyone to know, and we'll talk more about this later, that these articles and this research you can find on Lee's website, so we'll get into that later, because I started reading a bunch of the articles, and it's wonderful to realize that there's something beneath this, and learning how to speak. A lot of people go and get training on how to speak, but your work is a little bit different. It's more about how to be before we learn how to speak. So could you talk a little bit more about what you call relational presence and how that makes a difference in front of people?
I had this just as bad stage fright as anyone I know, terror.
Your story is so amazing. I mean, you have several of them, but the one when you were 13, would you...
Yeah, my bar mitzvah.
Yes.
The opening line of my bar mitzvah speech, today I am a man. It's very late developing and got, brought down the house, but it wasn't a good laughter. It was poor little boy. But, that's the kind of trauma, or that's the kind of experience that a lot of people have in being in front of a group, something embarrassing. And so getting over it, or in finding a way over it, because I got things like Toastmasters just brought me right back into the fear of having to perform. And so I created these groups before I even came up with the words name speaking circle, where we would just be in front of each other without even having to speak. And I always gave my instructions were be have your eyes available. That's what I said, available eyes. And then about 15 years ago, I said, let's call this relational presence, or it came through me. That's the phrase that would cover it, so it made it much easier to give the instructions. So to me, relational presence, and if you imagine being in front of a group, is to be present with one person at a time as your highest priority, to be present in an allowing way, rather than, again, trying to make contact or trying to connect, but to be softly available, it's kind of, I call it co-presence or namaste. The God in me sees the God in you. And there's not this nodding of the head like, yes, yes, you're okay. It's more like, I'm just here. We're here for each other. So my, you know, the basic exercise, and you can all practice this with each other, you know, with any one partner. This is the entrance into relational presence. Is just take 15 seconds with a partner and sit opposite each other. And just be there and breathe and not give social signals and nods. And just be there and notice the connection. And I notice the connection a lot underground. Like the roots of trees are connected through these massive roots. And we as humans have some kind of human energy connections. Notice the connection underground. You can even imagine that we're all attracted to the center of the earth, right? I mean, we're energetically... We gravity takes us down, and we all meet at the center of the earth. So you imagine the connection at the center of the earth, or like the roots of trees, so that you're not having to express it with your face, but allowing it with your being, and just hang out there. And at first, you'll notice if you do this practice, you'll notice this self-consciousness, and that's touching into that attunement impairment, but it's repairable, because if you hang out there with a person in silence until you're not trying to get away, and then you can start speaking at some point and express perhaps what the feeling is. And then as you start to do that without any stress to make sense, and then you start doing it to a group of people where you're with one person at a time, and you get to a state through this practice of relational presence with a group of what I call easygoing in the not knowing. To be with someone without having to know anything. And then you start expressing naturally what wants to be said. And you start to do inquiry. It's kind of like open eye meditation, and then it's open eye inquiry. And you start getting clarity on what needs to be said and what feelings and thoughts want to come through to kind of bring yourself up to date with being with another human being. Not their personality, but just human to human. You start to be able to stand in front of a group of other humans without rushing and allowing the breath to make the connection. And then you can even have a planned talk or somewhat planned talk. But you're not attached to getting it right. You're more in the moment.
Whoa. I remember when I first got trained by you, and then I started being in front of groups, which I've done for many, many years, and standing in front of the group and breathing first and quiet and feeling the connection with the group, and then realizing that what was going to come through me may not have been what I thought, but it was something that they wanted. And I just remember how I shifted. And as so many people on our call have really important messages to give to the world, and they're here to inspire others to do great things because they're doing great things, and they have an expertise and want to inform people, but realizing that that connection, when that's made first, allows people to touch people at a deeper level. And it's had a huge impact on me and so many people that I've worked with. And I've been looking at the TED Talks a lot, and that they come so much from authenticity. And I know you mentioned speaking circles earlier and Toastmasters. And Toastmasters is a incredible organization that trains speakers. And one of your people actually did some comparisons, because the speaking circles and Toastmasters both offer tremendous value. Can you share a little bit about the distinctions between the two of them? Because they're both so important.
You know, speaking circles have been called feminist Toastmasters. Toastmasters does wonderful work, and it's more from the point of view of technique and performance, and there's nothing wrong with that. Some people need, well, actually, some, we have people who go to both, of course. So in Toastmasters, it's about creating the talk, writing the talk, the gestures, the confidence, the way of doing it. And speaking circle is coming from being. So being in relationship, paying attention to relationship, and then finding what wants to come through. So in speaking circles, when you start to find naturally what the people on this call have amazing things to share, and some of you really have the words down for what it is, and you can deliver it them with confidence and with ease and relationally. And Toastmasters is a great place to practice that. But most of us, or many of us, or for me, I'm not sure what I know. I don't know how to say what I know. I know it. I know it. It's in my heart. It's in my soul. It's in my being. But if I try to write it or speak it or plan it, it just comes out one dimension. It doesn't transmit. So the speaking circle is a place to it's like a laboratory where we find out what wants to come through, starting from being. And then once you mentioned, Robin, that you would start to talk about things you didn't even know you were going to talk about, or say things in ways
yes.
you couldn't imagine in the moment, because the intelligence of the listening is really what the big thing happening in a room, to really plug into that. So instead of delivering, Toastmasters is a good place to learn to deliver what you already have. But in terms of finding what you want, what wants to come through, and then you start to fashion it, you start to put it together, and you can practice even in speaking circles. You can practice your some people call it polishing. I don't want polishing. I want raw. but there is a tender precision of articulation you start coming into, and you could use speaking circles to practice rolling that out and exploring the actual content and actually practice or explore talks. And you can go to Toastmasters and do it there. One of the differences in speaking circles, the first guideline is to the listeners to be absolutely present. And that makes it safer to explore. In a Toastmasters, that isn't the culture, so many people are making notes and aren't really there with their eyes. Now, this could be said to simulate the real world, which it does, so that could be useful to learn how to be in the, quote, real world where not everybody's listening. But in speaking circle, when you get used to people listening, you can actually facilitate that kind of attention. In other words, transform a real world audience where people aren't really paying that much attention, complete attention with their eyes, and get their attention by being like a magnet. And people are like iron filings to the magnet. In other words, they are attracted to that presence because they see that you're really there with them, with one person at a time, so they start to pay attention. So, you know, it's different approaches that fit for different people at different times. Some people go to Toastmasters for a while, then they come to speaking circles and vice versa. Some people go to both. So it's really the different ways into the same end, which is to be leadership communicators.
So many people have a message, and we need to develop so we can feel comfortable public speaking from the inside out. I love that term about speaking circles. And I know you work a lot with introverts. Lee, can introverts be good public speakers?
I'm an introvert, and it doesn't look like it when I'm up in front of a room. But introverts make the best. Introverts are good listeners, right? I mean, that's where we pay attention to. So, and what in speaking circle through relational presence, you begin to see that listening is what you're doing first up in front of the room. It seems like so counterintuitive. But like a lot of other things, it's the opposite of what we learned, that the most important skill in speaking in front of a group is the sense of being there for that, for the audience, to listen to their listening. So if you're a good listener and you give up the idea of having to be dynamic and oratorical and, you know, really, really, you know, be out there, and you allow them to come to you, and in the one person at a time, you can be in more stillness and speak less, perhaps. But this is what makes really great communicators, those who are not that flamboyantly, unless that's your natural style, which is a small percentage of people, are dynamic and out there, and they can, you know, but to allow people to come to you and to be to allow the introversion to become a positive, to become an asset by being in this, you know, this juicy one-on-one. And then what happens to the introvert is that part of the, you know, it's not all, you're not all introvert. There's part of you that's got like a preacher in there, that's got some, you know, dynamism that starts coming out naturally. And the combination of the listening and what I call, and magnetism, and then the natural flow of what you know, your holy desire, your message, your brilliance, your mastery, your genius, and what you know starts to flow naturally. So, introvert, as long as you don't think, oh, I'm an introvert, I'll have to learn how to be another way. No, lead with listening, and the rest will follow.
I think that's so liberating for so many people, and I do believe when we open up the lines, we're going to have at least one person who your work transformed that clearly is an introvert. You keep mentioning about connecting with one person, and I remember when you shared this with me, what a difference it made when I was in front of an audience, that if you connect with one person, everyone feels connected. And so many people are trained to try to reach everybody. Could you talk a little bit about that? Because I think that's a true shift for a lot of people when they're in front of a group.
Yeah, it comes again to the capacity people have. You know, anybody who's gotten to where you're on this call and you're out in life and you're making a difference, even one-on-one, you know how to have a one-on-one conversation. That comes naturally. I mean, it took a lot of work to become as powerful or as a good one-on-one communicator, but we're all in that game. But then you think speaking to a group is a whole different game. It's a whole different world. I have to learn a whole different set of skills. But to reduce it to one person at a time, as if they were the only person in the world, as if they were the ones you're having coffee with, and you're with that person, even for a few seconds, one-on-one, always to have your eyes with someone and to know that you're with this, not this personality, but you're with this portal to divine intelligence, or you're with this gateway to humanity as seen in this face. Our faces are beautiful when you see that. So if you can be with one person at a time and see the beauty of their face. Now, you know, you might be there with them for 2 seconds, but when you practice, you can immediately, boom, plug in. I don't know if it is even feeling it. You're intuiting. You know it. I forgot what the question was.
I think
I'm answering it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you're doing a great job. And Gregory said he wants to share a little testimonial because this has had a real impact on him.
Yeah, hi, Lee.
Hi,
Gregory. And I guess I want to give you a double thank you. I want to give you a thank you for today. But about 10 years ago, Robin introduced me to your work when I was the vice president of sales for a network marketing company, and my job was hosting national conferences and national events. And at that point, I was 12 years into my or 14 years into my professional career. I was the classic subject matter expert. I knew my content, and I was continually trying to connect with their intellect. And your message was so simple and profound, to connect with the heart. It made a huge difference, and after that, it was a day and night difference for me getting on the stage, number one, in my confidence factor, because then I was coming from my heart, and I'm a real heart person, so that made it so much easier. And then the idea of just picking out a person, deliver a concept, take a breath, look for somebody else that's friendly in the audience, and pick them out and deliver the next concept. I got so many compliments thereafter as people come up, you know, you're such a heart person. It's so easy to connect with you when you're on the stage, and they could have been in the back of the audience, you know, of 500 people or 1,000 people. So I just want to say thank you, because, and the other thing I want to comment on, I realize, is more is not better, you know.
Yay!
and delivering you know, concise messages from the heart is so much better than a machine gun of information. And so thank you. It was a life-changing experience for me, and it's stayed with me ever since.
Oh, thanks for the report, Gregory. It's great to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have a lot of time left, but I know you have, you know, dozens, hundreds, probably thousands of stories. And before we get to your final comments, are there any stories you want to share with the group this morning? And I do want to say before I do that, I remember you inviting us to have, if we didn't have a real picture of the person in front of us when we're on the phone, to imagine a picture and imagine looking in their eyes. And I'm sitting here looking in your eyes with this beautiful picture of you on my computer screen, Lee. So I'm with you.
Oh, great.
Any other stories you want to share, and realizing that there's so many resources that you have for people. So how can people tap in to learn more about this work you have? And if you do want to share an example or just jump into some of the resources, that would be great.
Well, I'm thinking of a particular man who's an author out there in the world who does really, you know, gets a lot of attention, and he came to the circle and taught us, you know, he kept teaching, and he was good. He started to get relationally present, but he was missing something, and he finally stopped teaching. This was just last week, and he said, "I'm so scared in front of groups. I have to know exactly what I'm going to say, and I just can't really be myself." And he started crying. And he's a person who let himself cry, and it was so liberating. And that was what he needed to do with us, so that when he taught, he could do it in more of a from his authentic self. And you know, those are kind of stories that in real world stories like Gregory's story, I'd love to see that transition. That there doesn't seem to be anywhere to go where you can break down in front of a group like that, and to live and transform to the next level. It's like this trauma that it is trauma work in a way. This is trauma transformation through relational presence, and that's more and more where this work is going. So, was there another question? Did you say where you can contact
me?
Yeah,
I want people to know how they can access more of the work.
Yeah.
You have a website, speakingcirclesplural.com, and there's all kinds things on there. I think people can get involved in your newsletter through an email. So you want to share a little bit more about what you have available for people?
Yeah. Well, you know, go to Speaking Circles, as you say, speakingcircles.com, and you can sign up for the newsletter. And you can sign up for a free teleclass once a month, and that's a wonderful portal to the work. And there's, I do a one-day and two-day work in Northern California, and there's some facilitators around the country, and there's books, and there's video programs where you can do this with me virtually, eye-to-eye on a computer, and watch the exercises, and start a little group among your friends or your colleagues, and practice relational presence. A lot of opportunities, and you can do it through the website. And I'd love to hear from you at lee@speakingcircles.com if the ramifications of this morning's conversation. I'd love to hear from people about what it made you go through, think, how it might impact your life. Because you're leaders, and you have impact on people.
Thank you. If people can start their own speaking circle, it's a very, very simple process, and you can learn from the website how to do that. It doesn't cost anything. Just gathering a few people in your home and being present with each other. And there's three different rounds, right? Is it still the same as it used to be?
Well, we're not calling them a local study groups.
Study groups. Okay, great.
Yeah, I know in the book it says form a circle. That created confusion with our professional facilitators. Always good to go to a professionally facilitated circle, but to do study groups, I really encourage people to practice this. You can even practice in the mirror, and some of those are, you know, articles on the website where you can start that.
Wonderful. Any other final comments, Lee?
Take a breath before you speak in any situation. Feel the connection. We are so richly connected, and we so not plug into that. It's almost like literally with our two feet plug into the center of the earth and find everybody down there. And then we're connected through the cosmos. We're so connected, and we forget. We need to remind each other of that.
Thank you. You know, stopping, slowing down, breathing, connecting. I was so excited to share you with our audience because these are people that many of them unconsciously do this and now more consciously for a lot of the rest of us. So thank you for being with us, Lee, and sharing your 30 minutes of wisdom this morning. We're going to complete our recording in just a moment. Any other final comments, Gregory, before we complete our recording?
Well, again, just a big thank you for, you know, the simple is usually the most profound, and your techniques are so simple and so profound and lasting, and I encourage everyone listening to dial into speakingcircles.com, access information, because it'll make a difference in your personal and professional lives. So thanks again, Lee.
Thank you, Gregory. Thank you. Thank you, Robin. Thanks so much.
A pleasure and an honor to share you. So next week, everyone, we have Kathleen Ronald, and she is so fun, this woman, and Lee, you may know her. She does many different talks, but she's going to be talking about decluttering on many levels and how our paycheck is tied to our clutter, and not just clutter in our space, but clutter in our mind, clutter in our emotions, clutter in many different ways. And following Kathleen, the next week we're going to have one of the true founders of experiential trainings, Robert White, who created the LifeSpring movement and author of the book Living an Extraordinary Life. So we are going to complete our recording at this time, and we're going to be quiet for just a minute and open the lines and visit with Lee for a few minutes in Q&A. So thank you, everyone, and we'll complete our recorded session right now. Thank you.